Imagine doing the math perfectly, getting the exact right figure, and well, still scoring an absolute
Oh,
zero.
yeah, it happens all the time.
Right. That is exactly what hundreds of ACCA SBR candidates are doing right now. So welcome to your final deep dive briefing for the September exam.
Yeah, consider this like your elite tutoring session.
Exactly. We are taking the latest examiner's report and exposing exactly where you are bleeding easy marks. We're focusing purely on technical accuracy and, exam technique.
Right, and we're going to be direct and honestly, maybe a little ruthless about these common errors.
We have to be.
Yeah, because you have what it takes to pass, but we have to stop you from throwing away points on mistakes that the examiners see repeating like year after year.
Okay, so let's unpack that zero score nightmare I just mentioned. It usually starts with time management.
Oh, absolutely. And what we call the spreadsheet trap.
Yes, the spreadsheet trap. First rule, you need to translate every single mark into minutes.
Right, and remember, you do not have to answer the first question first. I mean, it is notoriously a time sink designed to just, well, test your nerve.
Yeah, start where you are strongest. But even when candidates manage their time perfectly, they sabotage their spreadsheets.
They really do. They just type unreferenced numbers directly into cells.
Which is wild. Like they just type over their draft figures.
Exactly. What candidates need to understand is that the marker is not just grading the final display in that cell. They are, grading the formula bar.
It's all about the breadcrumbs. I mean, if you hide your workings in an unreferenced cell, it's like locking your workings in a safe and throwing away the key.
Right. The marker can't see how you got there.
Exactly. If you make a tiny arithmetic mistake but leave a clear audit trail in the formula, you get partial credit. No trail. Zero marks.
And speaking of giving away marks, check your directional errors.
Oh, the directional
Yeah,
errors.
putting an adjustment through backwards, adding instead of subtracting, it just kills your score on the easiest concepts.
It happens when students rush. But, a perfect spreadsheet audit trail won't save you if your fundamental technical math is, well, flawed.
Yeah, we see this disconnect constantly, especially with group disposals.
Group disposals are a bloodbath. Students continually forget to reclassify exchange losses out of other comprehensive income.
Yes. Or they calculate the disposal by just deducting the carrying amount and they just stop there.
Oh, right, completely ignoring the fair value of the remaining shareholdings.
Exactly. They treat the disposal as a simple subtraction problem rather than like looking at the broader economic reality of realized versus unrealized gains.
It's missing the forest for the trees.
It really is. And we see a similar failure to grasp underlying mechanics with financial instruments under IAS 32.
Oh, right.
Students are trying to separate the debt and equity components of convertible instruments, but they discount the future cash flows using the coupon rate instead of, a comparable market rate.
Which totally misses the point. The coupon rate only reflects the actual cash being paid out the door.
Exactly.
It doesn't reflect the market risk or the true cost of debt for that instrument. I mean, if you use the coupon rate, you aren't actually isolating the value of the conversion option.
Precisely. You have to find the market rate for a comparable non-convertible instrument to make that calculation work. You have to understand why the rule exists, not just, memorize a formula.
But wait, I actually want to push back on this a bit, specifically regarding deferred tax.
Well, the ultimate disaster zone.
Right. In every single examiner report, deferred tax is a mess. But if a student correctly spots an obvious timing mismatch and says, hey, a deferred tax asset needs to be recognized, why isn't that enough?
Well, spotting the timing difference is really only half the battle.
Okay, so why does the specific comparison to the carrying amount matter so much?
Because IAS 12 is fundamentally about the future tax consequences of recovering an asset's carrying amount. If you don't actually compare the tax base with that carrying amount, you can't quantify the effect.
So you're just pointing out a problem without measuring it?
Basically, yeah. You're saying a tax event will happen without proving, how it impacts the balance sheet.
We're out. Okay. So let's say your accounting logic is flawless. You understand the tax base, you use the right market rates,
Right?
right?
A perfect paper.
You leave a perfect audit trail,
Yeah.
but you can still fail because of the application illusion.
Oh, definitely. This is where candidates brain dump rote learned knowledge, but just fail to apply it to the scenario. The ethics requirement is the classic trap here.
Yes. A candidate will see an ethical dilemma and just list out fundamental principles like integrity, objectivity, and earn zero marks.
Because the marker doesn't care if you memorize the dictionary definition of ethics.
Right. A bad answer says, you know, self-interest is a threat. A passing answer says the director's bonus creates a self-interest threat, therefore an independent committee must review the valuation.
Exactly. You have to link the threat to an actionable, documented resolution.
And beware of trigger words causing panic.
Oh, the trigger words. A prompt mentioned a lease, and suddenly a candidate is writing 3 pages on IFRS 16. Unnecessarily, even if, like, the property isn't leased out yet.
Or they see a sustainability backdrop and just summarize sustainability standards when the prompt didn't even ask for it.
Read the verbs. If asked to calculate, do not write a paragraph explaining the process.
It just burns your clock for literally zero reward. You have the knowledge. This exam is about executing it with precision. So as you head into the exam hall, I want to leave you with a final provocative thought.
Let's hear it.
Instead of staring at the screen asking, what is the accounting rule? What if you asked yourself, how would a real-world investor react to this number?
Oh, I love that. That stakeholder mindset is a brilliant shift. It automatically grounds your answers in reality and, honestly, fixes so many of those application errors we just talked about.
It really does. It's definitely something for you to mull over. Trust your preparation, leave a clear trail, and think like an investor.
You've got this. Good luck.